I've probably spent the better part of my kids' college fund on that Starbucks over there. Every time we come here, I stop in there and get a couple of coffees. Yeah.
Even no matter what time of the day?
Well, I mean, I always go in there at 9 o'clock.
Oh, I got you.
When
okay.
I'm coming over here.
I got you. So. Anytime I come over here.
Oh, and Moe's is over there, too, and Moe's usually provides us with lunch. And today we'll be eating close tartar salads, courtesy of our friends at Moe's Southwest Grill.
What are you going to have, chicken or steak?
Steak, always.
Really?
And the creamy Chipotle ranch dressing, it's fantastic. I get the same thing every time.
Scavenger, huh?
Oh, black beans, buddy.
My God, you're an absolute beast.
Well, you know, I'm a creature of habit, Pat. Like, eating the same thing, drinking the same coffee, saying the same stupid things I said last year, over and over again, my friend, redundancy.
They call that set in your ways.
Yeah, that's right.
We are all creatures of habit. It just depends on if you get good habits or bad habits.
You know what? That's a valid point. Wiser words were never spoken.
We all got habits, big guy.
Before we bring Jim Harrison, a couple of notes from the SEC teleconference yesterday. Ow, I just poked a hole in my thumb. Mike Anderson and John Calipari talking about the matchups this week. Now, of course, Arkansas won a dramatic victory over Kentucky a few weeks ago. Here is Mike Anderson talking about the return trip, this time to Lexington.
We're getting ready to face a Kentucky team that's really playing well. Just playing a lot of close games, and we played early in the year and had a game that was won at the buzzer. So now we get a chance to go and play at their place, and I'm sure John will have his team ready to play, and hopefully we'll be ready to play. But it should be a great atmosphere, and should be a great ball game, as well as having Georgia here on Saturday. So we talk about February and getting into February. All games are big, and, well, they just got bigger.
This is a tough week for Arkansas, without a doubt. You got a combined 18-10 league record and 37 wins combined this week, or 36 wins, I guess it was, with Kentucky. You know, I was looking at the wrong record. Make that 20-8,
yep.
20-8 combined, and 36-17. So they are playing two of the better teams in the league in Kentucky and Georgia this week, and the challenge at Kentucky this week is a great one. Arkansas fortunate to get that win at home earlier in the season. And it was what a great finish in that one in overtime. Jim Harris joining us from SportingLifeArkansas.com. Jim, good to have you back, and a big week for Arkansas, as we were talking about.
Yeah, it's big. A huge step in the right direction toward the NCAA tournament. If Arkansas was to upset Kentucky there for the first time in 20 years, which tells you how hard it's going to be. I know Pat was part of some really tough luck games, I would say.
Yeah, we lost in overtime
there, weren't you? Yeah.
Funny enough, that game was right after we got home from
American University
San Juan, Puerto Rico, where we absolutely played horrible.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, it's you know, I guess you start looking at things for potential post-game or postseason play for Arkansas. We have talked a lot about Arkansas maybe going 3-1 and winning a game or two in the tournament and what that would mean for them, but that argument has always included a loss at Kentucky. If they go 3-1 with a win over Kentucky and then maybe win a game or two in the tournament, what does that do for them? How much of a chance do you give them to get in the NCAA at that point?
If they beat Kentucky at Kentucky and even win maybe three more games, period, they're in the tournament. They'll zoom up the board. As far as the selection committee's concerned, it'll be a big road win for them. I mean, they don't need to tank the last three.
Right.
I mean, you know, it wouldn't hurt matters to win at all Alabama as well, which I think is going to be a tough game to win. And I think Georgia's going to be a tough home game this weekend. I think Arkansas saw the worst of Georgia at Georgia, probably should have won the game, didn't, lost in overtime to a team that's really trying to hand them the game. But since then, I don't think Georgia's played near as poorly as they did that day. I hope Arkansas's players realize that. I mean, they probably saw Georgia at their worst, and they still couldn't beat them. And it'll take a great effort on just one day's rest to beat them in Fayetteville. That's a huge game. It's probably the more important game if you look at it. I mean, they're both important, but I think Arkansas winning at Lexington, I don't think it's impossible, but I don't think it's I don't think it's probably going to happen. I think it could be close, but I just don't, you know, see it in the cards. But, finish the three straight wins and then go over there to Atlanta and win. Things could still shake out that they get to buy all the way to Friday. I mean, it would probably take a four-game win streak to do it, but they could conceivably get that Friday bye, and then you're really looking at, if you can just win your opening game in the tournament and get to the semifinals, you might look pretty good to the selection committee.
Okay, so if they finish 3-1, which is more reasonable, I'm with you. I think the game in Alabama is no gimme, and I don't think the two home games are gimmies. They're tough games. I think Ole Miss.
No, they're not. Ole Miss,
if Henderson goes crazy, Georgia's certainly a tough challenge. But let's say, for argument's sake, they go 3-1 with the loss of Kentucky, and they end up going 2-1 in the tournament. So, you'd be looking at, 5-2 your last seven?
Yeah.
And then you add in a few wins on top of that for your last 10. It would be a pretty good finish to the season for Arkansas. Is that attractive enough, though, or you think they're probably last four out at that point?
No, I mean they could end up closer to the bubble if there's not, many upsets. It really depends around the country how things fall, but right now there's not a whole lot of attractive at-large things.
You need things to go by the book in the tournaments, though, in the conference tournaments.
I mean, I would hate to think that they'd just be jumping all over picking SMU, who looks like they've just about won their way into the tournament, and ignore Arkansas, which, beat SMU. And, certainly that was a big win at home way back when. But, that looks good for Arkansas. I think it really helped to win at Alabama. I think had they lost Starkville, that pretty well would have done them, maybe even for the NIT. So, right now I think they're in a really good shape to continue the season with an NIT bid if they continue to play the way they are, and then get at least in the conversation for Sunday after the SEC tournament's over and see what happens.
That's my whole deal. My whole deal is you've got to play postseason basketball because you don't know how things are going to shake up. You just don't. You could win all four games and still not get that bye until Friday if Georgia and Tennessee, Tennessee's going to have the tiebreaker over you. So the number one goal is you've got to make sure you make the postseason. For me, that's gonna be more important for this team to play in March than anything.
NCAA and IT. Sure, if nothing else, they need to win Saturday and next Tuesday. That's just there is to it. That's a lot of games in a row with a little bit of rest. So that, they're really facing not to be cliché-ic about it, but this is a heck of a gauntlet with, Kentucky, Georgia, Ole Miss within about a 5-day period. That's really a tough stretch, no doubt about it. I think this is the kind of team. I don't think they have a great player like a Joe Johnson, but they have a kind of team that might could, get really hot in Atlanta and run the table.
Yeah, the deeper they go in, you would think with their depth that will benefit them as they go on through, although they'll be playing teams that have not played as many games. Jim Harris with Sporting Life Arkansas joining us here. And looking at the new RPI too, Jim, Arkansas is fifth in the SEC as far as RPI goes, behind Florida, Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee. So really pretty good shape. If in Tennessee, we were looking at it. With what's left, Tennessee has no excuses. Quanzo Martin has no excuses. They should absolutely go 4-0. They have the best chance to finish out among the 7-7 teams undefeated. Missouri has been slipping a little bit lately. They've had a couple of tough luck games, including over the weekend at Alabama. But they still, by the eye test, they still look like one of the better teams. If they can finish up with three wins, they're going to have a pretty good record. They'll be 22 wins to their credit.
They have some good, non-conference wins. They've got a, big home win over UCLA, I think. And, they've got a better appeal probably to the selection committee than Tennessee. Tennessee's got, to me, some bad losses in non-conference early in the year that still hurts. Even though they beat Arkansas, I don't know if Tennessee's got to do a lot to me right now to make it. I think two losses to Texas A&M, home and road, and you know, not really being in the ballpark with Florida. And I guess, don't they still have another game with Kentucky, or
who's that?
Tennessee?
Tennessee or not? Or have they played Kentucky?
Just Tennessee does not play Kentucky, no. Tennessee has left. I mean, to me, like I said, they've got the easiest run here. Let's look through there. Let me try to find that. Tennessee has left at Mississippi State, Vanderbilt at home, at Auburn, and Missouri at home.
Well, see, none of that except Missouri at home really helps them anyway.
If they get to 11 wins in conference play and you're sitting at, you know, 11-7, that's a pretty gaudy conference record, and it's going to be better than most of the other teams. And I think they're pretty highly thought of in general, although you're right, the RPI is not going to be helped exponentially by playing teams that are at the bottom. I mean, Mississippi State's the worst team in the league by RPI. And Texas A&M, Auburn, South Carolina are also down there outside the top 117. Alabama's at 117. A&M's 118. So, anyway, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're not going to help themselves a lot, but, you know, they do look like a tournament team to me. So, we'll see. I do want to talk football, too, Jim, unless, Pat, you have something else on Kentucky.
No, just kind of going through Kentucky and seeing how they're going to end up, because they're really a team that you can't define them right now. You know that they have some young talent, and usually Calipari by this time in the season has got these guys rolling, has been teaching his defense, and has kind of seen some guys emerge. But they've been sort of up and down as well. Obviously, Saturday almost losing to LSU.
Right.
So I just don't know what kind of a Kentucky team we're going to see Thursday night. That to me, it's still up in the air on what type of team this is.
Well, they should win the game. I mean, this is a team that is – they're better than Arkansas. I mean, whether or not they'll win the game, we don't know. Arkansas, you know, certainly had to do a lot of things right to beat them in Fayetteville. But this is not, to me, a vintage Kentucky team, even from a Calipari standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, like I've said many times before, you've got a couple different kinds of teams. You've got the Cousins wall teams, which this one appears to be more like to me. And then you've got the teams that just come together with a leader like Anthony Davis, a guy who, you know, is just so steady and so good.
Yeah.
He was consistent.
I think this is more like the team that was the year before Anthony Davis. I mean, I think the year of talent last year in college basketball either their players were slightly overrated to compare them to that same group with Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and those guys, or, 2011-12, those freshmen, that may have been one of the – you'll look back and say that's one of the premier freshman classes in college basketball. And these guys are just not quite at the same level. I like Randall, but I don't see a whole lot of just sheer greatness. I don't see a, you know, Kidd-Gilchrist or a – and I don't see Randall even in those two guys' leagues, to tell you the truth. And I'm not sure he's in Cousins' league. And, that was a heck of a team, the Cousins Wall group that just got, you know, blistered out of the tournament by West Virginia.
Well, they had six first rounders.
They just didn't have good luck on the Elite Eight day, really. I mean, that was just a, you know, West Virginia team that couldn't miss.
You look at this team. I mean, you can just see this team getting up against a lot of different teams in my book that are going to give them problems, and we'll see. I mean, they're still very talented. I really like Randall, but he's not been so consistent. The last couple of games, he's been great. He was the player of the week this week, and he certainly earned a great last week. But he went through a little bit of a lull there for a couple of weeks where he was, you know, not playing up to his.
And that's it. It's consistency with this team. The two best players they have right now with Randall and James Young, the lefty shooter. The two key guys against Arkansas is going to be Willie Cauley-Stein and Poitras, because those are big bodies that the Hogs have an answer for.
Right, but they did nothing at Fayetteville.
Right,
that's
what kept us in the game. If these guys, and the two of them have the potential, those two guys, to get like 10 offensive rebounds apiece, that could be the downfall. Those are the two guys that you got to be concerned of. Maybe get them in foul trouble. It's going to be a tough task because they don't have to make a bunch of shots, talking about Kentucky, to win the game.
Neither one of those guys have made any improvement over last year.
Yep.
In my opinion, I don't see it. And that's probably been the big difference, too. They don't have the sophomores that look significantly better than their freshman year, like again, the 2012 team had Terrence Jones and some of those guys who had played a year and came back even better.
But those guys don't have to do anything spectacular except play average. And I'm talking about Willie Cauley-Stein and Poitras. Yeah. Those guys just show up and play average. It's going to be too much for the Hogs because they take up that much space and they're active. They don't have to go out there and have spectacular games, which they won't.
And we need to see more Moses Kingsley again. I don't want to just see him as a substitute for Portis. I'd like to see him get some minutes again where they share some court time together. I think Arkansas is really a formidable lineup when those two are on the court together.
I will say, when he's gotten increased minutes, and it's been because of suspension, we've only seen it happen once, but he didn't really do much more. I mean, he's just supremely efficient right now, but you give him twice as many minutes, and the numbers really didn't go up. So, you
well,
know
they
what outscored
that means. LSU in that day of suspension, 18-4 with those two guys on the court.
Yeah, I'm just saying as far as his individual numbers, they didn't go up exponentially.
Well, I mean, I don't care about what his individual numbers. I'm looking at the five guys on the court together, right, and what his presence with Portis maybe being high post, low post, you know, the tandem, what that does with everybody else on the court. And I think it makes Arkansas a pretty formidable five. Mostly he just gets substitute minutes, you know, when Portis sits. But, you know, 12 minutes is okay. But you can see his athleticism, and you can compare him to all these other teams in these games. You see, like the kid for Kansas that's getting starter minutes, who's pretty similar to him in a lot of ways, but you know, that the kid at Kansas is getting, you know, 30 minutes a game because they don't have a Portis, so they've got the, you know, MG or whatever his name is, getting those kind of minutes and improving because of it. I would just like to see more of him on the court. Man, that play Kingsley made at, you know, in the second half at Starkville where he made the steal on the sideline, was able to, you know, redirect himself, not go sprawling out of bounds, but stayed in, took it in for a layup like he was a guard. I mean, it was our dunk. It was pretty strong.
Jim, let's shift gears, talk some football before we roll here. Certainly, Brett Bielema raised a few eyebrows with this argument, and it got reached a fever pitch Thursday with his comments in White County about pace of play and citing a specific incident that wasn't really applicable to this particular argument.
Right.
I'm curious what your thoughts are. When he gets asked about it again, because he will, he's going to get asked about it during spring. He's going to get asked about it at the meetings. He's going to get asked about it during the SEC media days. He'll get asked about it at the beginning of fall. Do you think he will come to a point where he will say, I've said all I'm going to say about it, or do you think he'll continue to discuss it after this gaffe last week?
Well, I would hope he'd do the former, to tell you the truth. I mean, I know media guys who hit him up for quotes are going to want to, you know, get an interview, but still, I mean, I think he's beaten the horse, and then he's also you know, step in the pile of the same process. I mean, he's I'm not even sure why he, you know, feels like he needs to carry the banner as the spokesman. You don't see it coming out of Saban the same way.
He doesn't have to say anything because it keeps getting said for him, and he doesn't have to look like the bad guy. He's got the perfect scenario.
Right, and I would hope after the season that Arkansas had and you know, if we took it from that point of view, you didn't even win a game in the conference. Didn't matter what kind of offense you're going up against. You know, I mean, the opinion of everybody, it seems, outside of Arkansas and a lot inside Arkansas, is that this argument, and mostly from Saban's situation, is it's totally to benefit their style of play, not to really. I mean, he has yet to, in Bielema's case, I haven't seen any documentation of injuries going up. I mean, common sense tells you that the more a player in that large weight of a defensive lineman, the more he plays, certainly the chances of him getting hurt are more just because he's in more for more play. There's more plays to have that chance of sustaining an injury, but I haven't really seen any documentation. Of course, he stepped in it by saying the documentation, all he needed was the kid's death certificate, and then, of course, the firestorm started. I don't think he's helped his cause one iota. I think he's hurt it. I don't think anybody else. And in fact, I mean, this vote's going to come up March the 6th. I seriously doubt now with some of the PR that, you know, but the negative PR toward that that scenario, I'm not sure it's even going to pass.
My only question is, do you think Bielema sits there and shoots a text to Saban and say, hey Nick, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn to say something about this. About this slowing the game down. I'm getting smashed over here.
Well, Saban's probably just laughing about it.
Well, he's probably enjoying it. I do want to say this. Will Muschamp has come out on the record and said the following in the Orlando Sentinel. My honest opinion is I think it's comical for everyone to come out either for it or against it and say this is what's best for college football, because it's really not what's best for the game, but it's what's best for your interest. I did a study 2 years ago on when the ball is being snapped. On average, each game, 4 to 6 plays on average were snapped before 30 seconds. So we're talking about 4 to 6 plays a game. We're not talking about half the game. My point being is, what does it really change? That's hard evidence. I don't know if you're familiar with College Football Matrix. We've had Dave Bartu on several times. We had him on again last week. He did an updated study on the amount of injuries versus pace of play as opposed to the size of and speed of players. The SEC hasn't cornered the market on size and speed, but it certainly is doing a pretty good job. It has the biggest teams and the biggest players in the league, or in the country by average. It also does not run as many plays as, say, the Big 12, for example, which is one of the smaller conferences by size. The data backs up the argument that the bigger, stronger, faster teams that don't necessarily have a high pace of play are far more dangerous than teams that run a whole bunch of plays but don't have nearly as big as or strong as guys.
That's one of those studies where you take somebody from the outside, look at that, they go, yeah, that's a no-brainer.
You go, duh, exactly.
Bigger, stronger, yeah, they're going to inflict more pain and injury.
Anyway, that was the first time I've seen a SEC coach make a cogent argument on this particular issue, not arguing for one side or the other, but pointing out the obvious, which is, if it benefits your team, in your opinion, you're going to argue that side. The problem for Coach Bielema is he continued to argue without having any data or backup on it, and then he went way too far. And, again, when you're fighting a losing battle, you get desperate sometimes, and, you know, that's what it turns into, unfortunately.
I still think his best to combat this on his team, the best thing you could say is tell your offensive coordinator to get more first downs on offense and keep your defense on the bench and let them rest more instead of being out there for. I don't think Auburn had very many 14 play drives anyway. Generally, they were able to score in eight. Texas A&M didn't have to pound it out and actually took their time. I guess the one thing he wants, the one thing this rule change would do is allow them to get their subs in instead of wondering is the other team going to snap the ball while we're, you know, trotting out a couple of 300 and something pounders. It's just to get the, the right personnel on the field for the situation, really, more than anything. And
well, if you got to go smaller and quicker against certain teams than you do, I mean, that's just the way it goes. The other thing
give Gus credit for coming up with the idea of a defense and other people too. I mean, offense, Chad Morris, anybody else to use this to put the defense at a disadvantage by playing it hurry up and getting up there so they can't substitute packages like everybody does. I mean, everybody for the last, 20-something years, has, especially teams that don't have terrifically great players, I mean, they substitute in packages to fit the certain down and distance. Well, I mean, the answer to that from an offense standpoint was to hurry them up and force them to play the guys they have on the field for any situation. That's all the change is for.
Well, the other thing is you can get guys in and out in 6 or 7 seconds. I mean, you may have to run a base defense and just run the guy in there and have him ready for the snap, but, I mean, you could do it. It's not like it's impossible. It may take a little forethought. It may take a little planning. It may take some execution, but it can be done.
Yeah, and if anybody's going to get hurt, I mean, he's worried about this. his argument started going downhill when he was saying, if I don't have any timeouts, how am I supposed to get an injured player out? Well, the injured player goes to the, to the field. I mean, falls down to the field. The officials stop the clock. I mean, that happens. And on the converse side of that is the Gus Malzahn's and people out in the world saying, oh, they're flopping because to stop the clock, but the guy may actually be hurt. So if a guy gets hurt, the clock's going to stop. I'm not sure where Bielema was going with that part of the argument either. I just think he basically needs to turn the volume off. I think a lot of Bielema is a lot of why he does this. He's very attention-getting. He's very much about, I think, his ego and being out there and speaking his mind and doesn't mind being quoted and being nationally controversial. And I think it's probably not good for Arkansas right now.
Yeah. All right, Jim, we appreciate it. And we'll catch up next week, hopefully recapping a couple of wins for the basketball program.
Well, we'll recap something.
Yep, no doubt about that.
Yeah,
for sure.
It ought to
all
be good. So
Jim,
see you guys soon.
All right, appreciate it. Follow Jim's work on SportingLifeArkansas.com, of course. A couple quick questions about Mike hung up there, and Mike moved over here. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you guys' opinion. Don't you think also that's going to hinder us from recruiting the 4- and 5-star receivers because they like the hurry-up offense? It gets them more attention and more throws, and it gives them a greater capability of showing their talent at the lower level to move up to the higher level. That's other fear is it's
yeah, I think that may be overthinking it just a little bit. I mean, they did get some high-level receivers this year. I mean, and Arkansas does what it does. I mean, he's got a knack for putting tight ends specifically, but, I mean, there have been receivers, I'm sure, that have played for him at Wisconsin that have ended up in the NFL. So, I don't know. I think that may be overthinking a little bit.
Well, I do that. That's what I do.
Well, you know what? A lot of us do. I mean, we're all overthinking it now because they're not winning very much, so we think about everything. So,
true.
Mike,
he
thanks for the call.
The answers all questions, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Thanks,
appreciate the call. Thank you.
The funny thing is Coach B and Saban are talking about slowing it down for their defenses, but their offenses, guess what they would much rather have? An up-tempo, fast-paced. Look what Saban. Didn't Saban just hire your boy to put in institute a new offense?
Well, that's because he's overthinking it. And, again, he had a team that was plenty good enough to win a national title, but they just needed to get a break or two and not have – you know what he ought to be doing? He should have been sent out – people to find the best kickers in America is what he should have been doing instead of worrying about anything else. And I'm pretty sure if bringing in Lane Kiffin is the answer, I do not want to know the question. But we're going to find out together. I'm really surprised by him. It's almost a little desperate. And he got in his own head, and now Gus is in his head just taking up residence right now.
Oh, there's no question.
It's really pathetic and sad for a guy that's so good. And to start questioning what you do that quickly on the turn of a dime, because one thing doesn't go well, and then you go and get smashed by Oklahoma because your team is not into it because it's not a national championship game. I think they ought to just dance with who brung them and stick to the program.
They do have a nasty, nasty record of not showing up in bowl games after being knocked out of contention.
Yeah.
But you know who's got a good record, though? Rideout Lumber Company. It's Rideout, Rideout Lumber.com. Floor covering is the name of the game for Rideout Lumber Company.